So thank you once again for joining us this afternoon, and welcome to the Rift Valley Forum. And thank you for making time to be with us in this series, the election series that we have in partnership with Henrik Boll Foundation. The election series will be covering broad themes, constitutions and electoral institutions, civic space and active citizen participation, women's political participation, media and security that cut across elections in the East and Horn of Africa. The countries covered in this series are Tanzania, Uganda, South Sudan, Sudan, Somalia, Somaliland, Ethiopia, and Djibouti. This is our fifth forum in this series, having covered Tanzania, Uganda, and Ethiopia, and we had an introductory forum as well. So in the run-up to these critical elections in now 2021, this series intends to provide a longer-term view on the democratic development of the region by providing critical analysis and space for debates on pertinent issues during this period. Today's forum, as you all know, is on the upcoming Somali elections, which are pegged for 2020 and 2021. On September 17th, the Somali leaders agreed on an indirect election model, the Mogadishu model, to be used for the upcoming elections, similar to the process used in 2016, but a little bit updated with a few more safeguards put in there. Parliamentary elections are due to be completed by December 28, 2020, and presidential elections are on 8th February 2021. But the consensus over the electoral process has begun to fray. A number of issues remain unresolved, which could further delay or delegitimize the electoral process. This, of course, include the composition of the election management bodies, which are still being formulated, voting for seats allocated to Somaliland, and election procedures in Jubaland. I think for those in the room or who know Somalia well, understand the context of Somali and where they've come from. And although there's been a push for universal suffrage for the electoral process, this has not really happened, and we are back to indirect voting. And those are some of the issues we hope to unpack with Mahad and with Hordan and Peter navigating the conversation for us this afternoon. So we hope that this forum and subsequent ones will generate information, insights, and perspectives that add to the rich discussions on elections in the region and create space for imagining how the citizenry engage with the process of elections, how they engage with the purpose of elections, and how outcomes of elections affect how citizens are governed. Our moderator today, very graciously, is Peter Chonka. Peter is a lecturer in Global Digital Cultures at King's College, London's Department of Digital Humanities. His research focuses on impacts of new media technologies on cultural politics, state-making, civil society activism, mobility, and humanitarian communications in the Horn of Africa. Before completing his PhD on media networks in the Somalia Horn of Africa, Peter previously worked for the University of Hargeisa and for the ICRC's Somali delegation as a Somali interpreter. Thank you very much, Peter. Our panelists today, who Peter will introduce further, are Mohamed Wasuge, who's the Executive Director of Somali Public Agenda, and Dr. Hadan Said Ise. Unfortunately, Mohamed Kainan could not join us this afternoon. My name is Pauline Otieno-Scaper, and I'm the Forum Manager here at the Rift Valley Institute. The Rift Valley Forum is a program of the Institute and is a neutral platform that is dedicated to critical exploration, discussion, and debate on important political, economic, and social issues within the Horn and Eastern Africa. So asanteni sana, and I will hand over to Peter.
Thanks so much, Pauline, and thanks to RVI and HBS for inviting me to moderate, to chair this discussion today. I'm really happy to be with Mahad and hopefully with Hodan, if she is able to connect and join us. So what I will do is I will just say a few words of introduction about Mahad and Hodan, and then we'll move on to hearing from Mahad and Hodan about the election process, where we're at the moment, and then some of the gendered dynamics of this in terms of women's participation in particular, which we believe that Hodan will contribute to. And then after those kind of comments, we will open things up for addressing questions in the chat. I know I have a lot of my own kind of questions that I would like to pose to the panelists as well. So in terms of introductions, we're privileged to have with us Mahad Wasuge, who is the Executive Director of Somali Public Agenda, a non-profit public policy and administration research organization based in Mogadishu, that works to advance understanding and improvement of public administration and public services in Somalia through evidence-based research and analysis. Mahad also occasionally teaches public policy and administration courses at Mogadishu University, and Mahad's research interests focus on governance, democratization, civil service reform, public finance, constitutional development, post-conflict justice, and migration. Dr. Hodan Saeed Issa is a Somali-American economics and finance academic and a certified Islamic finance expert. She is a clinical assistant professor emeritus at the University of Buffalo School of Management. Dr. Issa has pioneered fiscal federalism and research sharing issues in Somalia through research and presentations, and has done work for the UNDP, Conflict Dynamics, HESPI, Ministry of Constitution of the Federal Government, and has outlined the important characteristics of working fiscal federalism, a key issue in Somalia in that context. So in order to start off our substantive discussion today, we'd like to give the floor to Mahad to say something about the upcoming election process. As Pauline has said, we know that the electoral model that was agreed in September for Somalia's elections is similar to the indirect model which was used in 2016, but with some updates and a few differences. I know from Mahad's work with Somali Public Agenda that he is an expert in the ins and outs of this sometimes quite complicated set of arrangements, which are also quite distinctive to the Somali context. So I'd like to invite Mahad to give us an overview of what the system is for those of us who are not as familiar with it, and maybe highlight some of the key issues that still exist with regard to the execution of this process. So thanks again, Mahad. The floor is yours to start us off.
Thank you, Peter Tonka, and thank you, RBI and HBS, for this discussion. I would like to talk a little bit about an overview about the elections in Somalia and then the electoral model, its main limitations, and then the key political contentious issues currently in play. After a series of consultative meetings between the leaders of the federal government of Somalia and the federal states in Dusmareb, the capital city of Galmudug State, and Mogadishu, Somali federal and state leaders have agreed on an indirect electoral model in September 17th in Mogadishu. The model was born out of a deal that was reached by the federal government and federal and state leaders, who after subsequent talks compromised and agreed to make a number of changes to the previous electoral constituency caucus model, which was previously agreed on August 20th in Dusmareb, with the absence of Puntland and Jubaland states. The post house of the federal parliament approved the agreement on 26 September in a joint session. In addition to that, the technical details of the election were agreed by the federal government and federal and state leaders in October 2nd this year. The anticipation was that the election of the both chambers of the parliament, as well as the presidential election, would happen on schedule. However, the appointment of the Federal Indirect Electoral Commission members and the commissioners for some federal member states, as well as the contentions over the management of Somaliland seats and the Gedda region, became barriers to the implementation of the agreements. Let me give an overview of the electoral model. First, an electoral college of 101 clan delegates, which is an increase from 51 in 2016, will be used to vote for each of the 275 seats of the House of the People of the Federal Parliament. This represents a doubling the participants compared to the 2016 process. So in total, 27,775 people will participate directly in the election of the House of the People. Delegates will from that the seat is allocated to in the Parliament, with at least 30% of the delegates being women. Second, each seat in the House of the People will be assigned to one electoral location, and voting will take place in two locations in each federal member states as well as in Mogadishu. This is an improvement from the 2016 process when voting only take place in state capitals and Mogadishu. Third, candidates for the House of the People will pay a 10,000 registration fee, $10,000 registration fee. Also, candidates for the upper house must pay $20,000 to contest for the seat in the upper house. Fourth, federal and state assemblies will vote for the seat on seats in the upper house whose nominees will be proposed by federal representatives. And fifth, the election will be managed by a two-tiered system with structures in place at federal and state levels. The 25-member Federal Indirect Election Implementation Commission will oversee and coordinate the overall electoral process. It will prepare and manage the election budget, manage the schedule, and will announce the election results. 13 of this committee will be appointed by the federal government and 12 by federal member states, which means 2 for each federal member state. On the other hand, state election implementation commissioners will be responsible for direct implementation of the process, including and verifying delegates list and managing the voting for the House of the People seats. Each committee of this federal state level committee will have 11 members, 3 of whom will be appointed by the federal government. The remaining 8 will be appointed by the state itself. A special commission appointed by the federal government in collaboration with Somalian politicians and elders will manage the election of MPs representing Somalia. All committees should adhere to, according to the agreed process, 30% women quota, and individuals selected will have to fulfill strict criteria, including not holding other political positions. And finally, this election will have also 21-member dispute resolution committee who will manage compliance related to delegate selection, voting process, and the conduct of election management committees. The federal government will appoint 9 members of this committee, while members, federal member states will appoint 12 members, which means 2 for each federal member state. The committee will have offices in each electoral location and headquarters in Mogadishu. To file a compliant, a registration fee of $3,000 will be required, and the committee will make a ruling within 7 days. The committee will be overseen by the National Consultative Council. There are 3 main limitations of this election design. First is the economics of the election. The federal indirect election is quite expensive. It will be an elite election, refundable election fee, which is 10,000 for the House of the People and 20,000 for the upper house, are quite high and locks out many potential candidates who could not afford the registration fees. In 2016, the registration fee for the House of the People was 5,000 and 2,500 women candidates. This is now doubled, and there is also no reduction in the registration fee for women. Registration fee does not reflect the economic status of the country. It systematically excludes a significant portion of the society, mainly the youth and women, who could like to join the legislative bodies because they cannot afford this amount of money. Therefore, the upcoming election will be contested by a privileged few. The second limitation is the women representation. There are no reserved seats for women according to the agreed electoral design. Each woman candidate will compete with other male and female contenders for each seat. This would most likely reduce the current 24% of women representation on both chambers of the Somali Federal Parliament. The third main limitation of this election design is the election timeline. The current electoral timeline states that the process must be completed by early February. This is overly ambitious, and without a technical extension, will likely be broken. There are numerous complicated and undefined tasks that are yet to be executed. The timeline for appointing the federal and state level election implementation committees and the dispute resolution committee was already significantly late, which means agreed timeline are no longer viable. As well as technical challenges, there are political disputes and security threats that may arise around the implementation process, which could also cause further delays. There are a number of contentious political issues currently making the process stagnant. The first is the finalization of the seat allocation. While election locations have been formally agreed, there remain political disputes and practical difficulties that may undermine implementation of these agreements. This is mostly clear in Jubaland, where the state administration has contended that elections cannot take place in Gedbahare, the capital city of the Gedda region, because of the region is controlled by forces aligned by the federal government. Instead, Jubaland officials have called for seats to be moved to Alwaq, which is the only district in Gedda still controlled by Jubaland forces, or Kismayo. The second contentious issue is the election management committees. The selection and the conduct of election management committees have already become a subject of intense controversy. Serious concerns have been raised that both the federal government and federal member states executives have sought to stack the committees in their favor, and that many members of the committees are not adequately qualified for the role. Different political loyalties of committee members, which will each be made up of a mixture of federal government and federal member state representatives, may also hinder their work. The third contentious issue is the managing elections for Somalia. The nomination of electoral management bodies that will oversee the election of representatives for the parliamentary seats representing Somaliland is another area of an ongoing dispute. Somalian politicians are currently in disagreement. Unless this is resolved, it will threaten the legitimacy of 57 seats allocated to Somaliland in the parliament. A related problem is that the procedure for nominating and voting for upper house representatives for Somaliland is not specified in the election agreements, making it uncertain how this will take place and consequently vulnerable to manipulation. And finally, the other contentious issue is the dispute resolution system. The likelihood of a contested result or results during the election is high, which means that having a trusted way of resolving these disputes is crucial. However, in 2016, the dispute resolution system came in for heavy criticism due to its failure to process many complaints and its vulnerability to political interferences. The dispute resolution committee may suffer from the same weakness this time around. If the committee cannot implement decision, the current electoral agreement vests the ultimate authority in the National Consultative Council to resolve the outstanding differences. The National Leadership Forum played this role in 2016. However, the National Consultative Council is much more divided than the NLF, which means that it will likely be poorly equipped to resolve significant disputes, particularly when there may be major differences between members of the National Consultative Council itself. Going forward, there are a number of things that needs to be done. First is the need for inclusive dialogue, ensure agreement on election locations. This is especially the case for seats in the Gedo region, which will require a dialogue between the federal government, Jubaland, and representatives from the region. One possible compromise could be to move the non-Marayhan seats in the Gedo to Alwak district, while the rest remain in Garbahari. This will mean that seats are divided between the federal government and Jubaland spheres of influence. Second, for election management to be effective, it must be grounded in principles of impartiality and inclusivity, and care should be taken to demonstrate that this is the case. One way to do this is by making sure that the election committees comply with the membership criteria established in the election agreement on October 2nd, including 30% women quota, and the rule that members should not be civil servants or hold any other political position. Giving the civil society and all presidential contenders a role in selecting membership of this committee might also help. Third, dialogue between Somaliland stakeholders in Mogadishu is needed to find a solution to the election management problem. One possible way would be for opposition candidates or the leadership of the upper house to select a certain quota of election management members. And fourth, tracking the dispute resolution problem, which is ultimately a symptom of institutional weakness in Somalia, is not a straightforward. However, building the capacity of the dispute resolution committee before the election, especially establishing transparent and efficient procedures, processing compliance would be a start. To give its rolling weight, Somali international partners as well as Somali politicians themselves should commit in advance to accepting its ruling in the event of a dispute. Importantly, Somali leaders, including the leaders of the federal government and federal member states, as well as contenders for the presidency, should remain in close dialogue throughout the process. This could be achieved through a regular monthly meeting of the National Consultative Council, including presidential contenders and the civil society. These measures can help build the foundations of trust and cooperation on which disputes can be effectively and peacefully managed. And finally, revisiting the election timelines based on the delay so far and detailed planning of the many procedures involved would reduce uncertainty and political tensions and will enable more technically robust process. Any delays that may occur and the reasons for them should be clearly communicated and agreed with all. Over.
Thank you so much, Mahad, for that very clear overview of the electoral process, what has been agreed as it stands, and some of the key issues that are still left to be addressed to ensure that this process will actually take place in the way it is planned. So that's extremely useful for myself and I hope for our attendees. In the meantime, while we wait for Hodan, there's a few kind of questions that I would like to pose to Mahad for his perspective. So I'd like to kind of start by thinking about the bigger picture of all of this, because one of the purposes of this forum is to think about the process that's ongoing at the moment, but to think about what that tells us about Somalia's kind of wider political trajectory, particularly if we are drawing comparisons between 2016 and what is happening now and what's supposed to happen in 2021, what that tells us about the overall kind of political landscape, political trajectories in terms of questions of universal suffrage, of democracy, of political representation, etc. And there's two kind of interlinked components of this that I would like to ask Mahad, I'd like to ask you about for your perspective. The first relates to the status of the 4.5 system, and the second relates to the status of political parties in relation to all of these processes. Now, we know that in 2016 was supposed to be the last time where 4.5, the formula for dividing up representation between the major clan families in Somalia, that was supposed to be the last time that it was used. And yet in 2020, 2021, in the process happening now, we know that 4.5 is still being used, you know, to manage that process of representation and seats in parliament. And so Mahad, I'd be interested to hear your perspective on 4.5, why it's still here, maybe a little bit about popular reactions to that. And then the second, which I think is interlinked here, is the question of political parties. There was a sense between 2016 and 2020 that efforts would be put into formalizing a political party system, registering parties, etc. And we know, as far as I'm aware, and correct me if I'm wrong, but as far as I'm aware, political parties are not playing any kind of official role in the process for 2021 in terms of affiliations for candidates, etc. So I was hoping that you might be able to give us your perspective on why we haven't seen the increased formalization of political parties, or why that process has been delayed, and perhaps how that relates to questions of clan representation and 4.5. Yeah, so I believe Hodan has just joined us, but perhaps Mahad can say something about those questions, and then we move over to Hodan to give her a moment to get settled. Welcome, Hodan. So Mahad, please.
Thank you, Peter. I think these are two important questions. And yes, in 2016, it was said that 4.5, this will be the last time to use it. But unfortunately, in mid last year, June or July last year, when the National Electoral Bill was reviewed by the federal parliament, 4.5 system was reintroduced. And one of the main limitations that we discussed in a number of papers on the electoral law was that 4.5 was previously a non-gentleman agreement and it was not written in any official documents. But the bill has legitimized 4.5, which means that 4.5 is now legal political process that clans defied authorities. So from the get-go, there was no evidence or effort to change the process, and all the politicians who were involved in this electoral process were still believe that it's not the time to change the process. In a way, 4.5 gives inclusion and representation to many clans in Somalia who without this process would not get representation. So that is That's one important thing to keep in mind. And the second thing is that there is no better alternative at the moment. There are no political parties. There are no other political processes that can make sure inclusion of different communities in the political process. So I think in addition to that, stakeholders or the federal government and states agreed that Somalia will go again to go back to 2016 process, which was and all the structures and processes prepared in 2016 are now is planned to be implemented. So this is another reason why 4.5 is still used. And I expect that changing it will require a lot of time and coming up with better alternatives, because people, politicians and people have been using this for two decades now. So changing this process will require a better alternative, and people fear of what this change could entail and could affect their states and their representation at the moment. The second is the political parties. Yes, political parties are not having any role at the moment in the electoral process. And the main reason is that this is basically an indirect election where each clan seat will be elected by electoral college, which represents the same clan. So basically, political parties have no role in this process. And the electoral model automatically excludes any aspiration for political parties to be part of the process. The second is that there have been over 100 political parties registered professionally in Somalia. There is no one political party that has achieved to be registered permanently. And the conditions are very high. And it includes that each must have 10,000 eligible voters registered in that political party and has offices, should have offices, for instance, in 9 of the Somalia's 18 pre-1991 regions. And so these are conditions that have been difficult to be implemented. So basically, in other words, there is no official registered political party in Somalia, and the electoral system is just the 2016 process. With these two combined, the political parties have not given any role. Thank you.